All right. Good evening. I hope you had a good time and a good day, and we can join together today and talk about the spiritual community of God. Okay. Let's talk about this, but before I get to that, I'd like to remind us that we've spent a lot of time this year talking about transformation. And as we do that, that is a process that we embarked on and began to make changes. And so today I'd like to take us towards this, a spiritual community of God. Galatians is set in Mesopotamia, which is today Turkey. And it was a place where there are many Jews, but some European and some scholars say maybe there were northern French people that had moved there to help out maybe with war, settled in that place. And as the church came together, there was definitely a conflict of Jews and Gentiles, and how would they work together and build that and become really a community. So the conflict in Galatians is about that, is how to become one in Christ, even though you have different backgrounds. Does that make sense? And so today I would like to talk about that and say, and help us understand that we have to forge a spiritual community. And community does not just happen, it's to work together, it's to build relationships, to know each other, it's to get to understand each other and really become a community. In other words, if you move to a new subdivision, you're all new, right? And then you start building friendships. Sometimes you have a cookout and all that stuff, and people come out, and you begin to interact, and the community begins to form, and you begin to know each other. Of course, you can get on the apps to get to know who is who, but ultimately, you have to connect. Does that make sense? Ultimately, you have to connect to form that community and talk to one another. Success. The first point is take responsibility. We cannot say we're going to build this community because I'm waiting on the others to do that. Everybody has to take responsibility to build this community. And here it says success has nothing to do with what you gain in life or accomplish for yourself. It's what you do for others. Danny Thomas. It is true. And the Bible talks about in different ways, it's better to give than to receive. Right? In other words, it's not about what you get, it's what you give. If we don't take responsibility and ask ourselves this question, how will I give in my family group? How will I give in the church setup I am in? How will I give as an individual to other people? We'll never build a community. It'll never happen. We have to start saying, what is my role? What do I have to do to start building a church that is really built on the Word of God, but reflecting God in our relationship with one another. Does that make sense? So take responsibility. This is not the time to allocate or to point your finger to someone else. This is the time to ask, how can I be a part of the solution? In our family groups, in our ministries. Amen. What exactly do I expect for it to look like? How will I be a part of that solution? Galatians 6 verse 1 to 5. So I start at the very end, and we can go back to the beginning, but today we'll start at Galatians chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you are spiritual, should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own action, then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Amen? So we start up here. Taking responsibility is, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you are spiritual, should restore that person gently. You may be feeling many things in life right now. You may be feeling anger, resentment, and all kinds of sins of the heart. That if you don't talk about, you may look fine, but you're really going through issues. Does that make sense? That you can look okay outside, but inside you're really not yourself. Part of building this community is learning to connect beyond the good look of the outside. Society teaches you and I to judge people by how we look outside. God wants to connect with your heart. If you do that, then you'll find a way to connect with one another. And here's where it becomes tricky. If you don't have a relationship with someone, it'll be hard for you to share your burden. You'll be stranded with your burden. It becomes very heavy. You have to find a way to talk about what you're going through. Does that make sense? That's how you start building community. We got to talk about what's going on, and we begin to help each other overcome those pains, those angers, those resentments, all those things. We're talking about it from a spiritual point of view. Does that make sense? So that's why it says, gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. How can you be tempted? You may get into the issues of judging the other person. Putting them down. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? You can do that in your mind. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. But you're judging. You're doing the same thing. You're being caught up in sin as well. Your role is to restore that person to Christ gently, not to compare yourself with them and put them down. It's easy to compare and put people down. I'm not like them. How can you think like that? What kind of a person are you? All that is you being caught in the scene and going the wrong direction. Your role is to restore them gently. Then it says, carry each other's burden. I can't carry your burden if you don't share it with me. I can't. You have to share what you're going through. Does that make sense? But that's the tricky part. The question is, do you have your friends? That's the question I've been coming back to lately a lot. Lately I've been asking that question. Do you have friends? Do you have someone you connect to where you can talk through things? The one another relationships. But you can have many other friends as well, but you got to have a steady place where you connect. Do you have that happening for you? Because if you don't have that, it's a very difficult place to be when you're going through a tough moment. Because you keep telling yourself, I can't tell him because they don't know me well. I can't tell him because he may judge me. I can't tell her. You keep telling yourself all these stories because you have no one to connect to. So don't wait for a problem. Start building now. Does that make sense? And then it says, carry each other's burden, and this way you will feel the law of Christ. See, if you follow the life of Jesus Christ, he had relationships in his life through and through. And he talked to people as he went through difficult moments, had conversations, even with the best of his three friends. And they still turned against him, but he still loved them. We can discuss that another way. And you see that all along he was having relationships as he went along with God and with people around him. It's important that we don't forget that you cannot build a community by being isolated. And yes, you may say, but I come to church, but are you isolated as an individual? Do you have things you're afraid to be known of? Are there things you're just afraid of? I'm known this way, people will not like me. You can't build a community like that. That is what gets in the way of building community. We begin to judge and put ourselves away from things, pull ourselves back. That is what kills us. And it says, just like it'll fulfill the law of Christ. Christ had relationships, he talked about, he died on the cross for us. And it's all about reaching out to us. You have to learn to reach out to other people. Take that responsibility. Amen? Now, here's an argument we all make. But nobody will understand me. Well, God will understand you. But it's amazing how you may underestimate people. Build a friendship and you'll be surprised how they may understand what you're going through. How do you know? How do you know that they will not understand you? You don't know that because you've never tried it. Okay, maybe you have a history. You tried it and it went terribly bad. But did you talk about it and how it went bad? You have to learn to resolve and not go back in the shell and just stay in there. You've got to learn to resolve and go forward. Does that make sense? That is how you deal with how you build community. Even though there's conflict, you walk through it and keep going forward. Does that make sense? That's the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. It's funny how we judge ourselves. We judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge people by their actions. So we are very harsh on people. And because we have that principle inverted, we never seem to give the benefit of doubt to others the way we give it to ourselves. So we end up having so much conflict within ourselves, with other people, but never dealing with that. Long term, we feel isolated and lonely. If we just gave them the same level of intention of maybe that was not intention and found out more, you'd find that the community would form much easier. Does that make sense? And that's why you got to ask yourself, how do you judge and how do you look at all this? Is it by intention or just by action? And you know, the dangerous point of this thing is that you can come to a place where it becomes your way of operation. You judge everything by just how you see it. You never give it a benefit of doubt and walk through it. That's why it says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. The other thing we tend to do sometimes, and that gets in the way of communities, we make ourselves the standard. I wouldn't do something like that, but you're not the standard. The standard is God. You're not the standard. You may think like that, but God's standard is way, way higher than you think. We sinned, weren't even thinking about Him, and Jesus still came and died on the cross for us. That's the standard. And you may wonder, why did that happen? He was concerned for us. Not about how we make Him feel. He was just concerned about our relationship with Him. And we react mainly because of how we're being made to feel. And not, hey, wait a minute, how would God want me to react in this situation? Am I making sense? Yeah. If we get that down, community will come. So, don't make yourself the standard, make God the standard. Right. Don't make your background the standard, make God the standard. Amen. Don't make where you come from the standard, make God the standard, and things will be different. When you start doing that, it's a higher calling for everyone. We begin to question our presumptions, our assumptions, and we begin to form the community. And everything changes around here. Each one should test their own action, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. That you should take action with yourself, not comparing. Not comparing. You know, comparison is very insidious. We compare all the time. You go somewhere, this one long queue, one short queue, you jump over to the other one. Then you go to the other one, it stops moving. And this other one that you're on was moving. You wonder, what happened? Then you try to go back to that one. Well, there are four more guys be there now, you can't go. Have you ever been in that place where you're queuing and you're wondering, I'm about to pay and then something goes wrong with the card. You jump onto the other one. And normally that thinking is because we think I'm losing out. You're only two people behind or three people behind. Or sometimes it's just traffic and people will not let you in, right? And all they have to do is if they let you in, you're just late one car behind. Not two.
Somebody in.
But the whole thing I'm trying to say is overall, whatever you do, don't compare yourselves. That can be hard. What about the neighborhood? Are you comparing yourself with the neighborhood? You go to the neighborhood, how you look, your yards, your homes, you're comparing yourselves. See, if we bring that in church, it breeds competition. Unhealthy competition. Because we start feeling maybe one person is over the other and over this and that, and it just creates all kinds of issues. Instead of building a community of God, we become competitive, and that destroys the body of Christ. What I like to say is this, if we are the body of Christ, if we're united, we are a strong community, we're healthy, no disease from outside can attack that body. But if we are competing and destroying ourselves, then a house divided cannot stand. That is true about a family group. That is true about any ministry. That is true about a family. That's true about everything. If we don't get that down and compare ourselves with ourselves, we will lose everything we're trying to build. It needs to be about God. Understand that. Here's the truth. Some people will be wealthier than others in the next 5 years in this room. Wealthier, much more wealthy, than others in this room. That's a fact. Some will be rich, some will be poor. You see, we struggle with that fact because I don't want to be the one that's going backwards. How do you know you're going backwards? You're in the right place where God wants you to be. But you're only feeling that because you're comparing. Because you think, how is it that grab has more long beards than me? How did that happen? Well, it's been around a long time. And there are many things you can compare yourself with. Hair, looks. The world pushes that. Our identity is God. If you compare yourself, you become very unhappy, sad, and you feel less a person all the time. In fact, it's hard to be content and build a community if you live in a comparison world. You can't. In church, we got to get over these comparison things. What do you take notice of? Do you take notice of people growing spiritually, or do you notice the new car, this thing? What do you notice? What gets to you? What jumps up at you? You cannot build community if that's what's jumping at you. The car, the hair, the shoes. This stuff means nothing. We need it, but it means nothing. 100 years from now, nobody will know what kind of shoe you had. What will count is whether you made it to heaven or not. Now, don't get me wrong. If you like your shoe, have a good time with that. I'm not trying to get the spark out of your life. I'm just saying, don't make that the big thing. Comparison is a big thing, and we got to get rid of comparisons. And you may not know it, but you compare. You got to stop that and make Jesus Lord. Amen? For each one should carry their own load. So we share burdens, but you carry your load. So you come and share with me what you're going through. I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. But the point of change is you to say, you know what? I got to study the Bible and make a change. Don't wait for people to fix you and then you start saying there's no love in this church. That's not true. There is love to hear, to give you advice, but change is on you. I can fix that. Nobody can fix that for you because change is personal and it's inside out. Anything out coming outside does not change. That's just something else. Am I making sense? So for each one should carry their own load. We have to take that responsibility to build a community, to go to places, to make it happen. Yes, share the burden, but carry the load of change. Let me just read that. At this time, let us be exceedingly mindful that bearing one another's burden and sharing one another's suffering is integral to being members of Christ's body. And that's very important. That we understand that sharing each other's burden is an integral thing of being of part of Christ's body. We need to learn to share these things, to be open. And when somebody shares, listen, empathize, fill with them, pray with them. Sometimes give advice if it's the right thing. Pray for discernment. Don't keep saying because sometimes it's not a time to speak. Just pray for discernment before you do these things. Does that make sense? God cannot be mocked. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The man who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Here's the deception that the devil tells us. You can commit sin today, but you don't feel the consequence right away. So you think you got away with it. That is like getting credit and being told you can only start paying us after 365 days. And you think you got away with it. A year later, they'll be saying, okay, we need the money. We need the money now. It needs to start flowing out. And you got to understand it. That's the devil's way of doing it. Do not be mocked. If we step out of the boundaries of God's teaching, God cannot be mocked. Do not be deceived, rather. If you step out of God's teaching, you're going to have some issues. Over time, you begin to go the wrong direction. Your heart, your mind begins to go in the wrong direction. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. We've got to watch our thinking, our speech, what we watch. All that stuff is building our spirituality. It's helping us build what we want God, what God wants us to have. So you have to start watching and asking yourself, what am I doing? If you keep negative thoughts in your heart, it's going to come round one day. If you put down people, it'll come down round one day. If you're judgmental, it'll come up one day. So deal with it before it comes up by itself. And you've got to learn to do that without waiting for God to prompt to push you into it. Embrace it before that happens. Does that make sense? So you cannot mock God. He gives us time to repent. Do not abuse His patience with us. It is time for us to repent. So we got to learn to deal with things, keeping things inside, hoping that it goes away. It doesn't go away. You are actually planting something. You got to deal with it. See, just because you forget, it doesn't mean you've dealt with it. We can have cyclical sins that go away 2 months and come back every 2 months. And for some of us, every 6 months, those sins come back. And for some of us, but we don't talk to anyone, so they just keep coming. But if we had someone we're talking to and we're praying and we're trying to get out of that, we'd get more stronger spiritually and get out of it. And we'll become much healthier spiritually as we build this community. Amen? So let us feed the spiritual side. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's feed that, the spiritual side. Feed that. Get in the Word. Get into relationships that are godly. Get into things that help you to grow spiritually. You can't change someone who doesn't see an issue in their actions. That is a big issue here. We cannot change if we don't see an issue with it. Why? Why would you be prompted to change? You continue in the ways because you don't see an issue with it. You can only change when you say, oh my goodness, I need to be sensitive to this. And then things change. Never give up. Some things are difficult to beat. Some things are just difficult to beat. So never give up on when you're trying to change. It can be, you may have anger issues. That can be difficult to beat. You may have forgiveness issues. You just have a big issue with forgiving people. It takes you a long time to forgive people. Some of these things can be tough to beat. It may be just you feel so offended. All these things can be tough to beat. But here's what the Bible says. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Question, what time? The proper time. Not tomorrow. Not the day after. At the proper time. As human beings, we hate that. We like to be told, what time? 6 o'clock with a dot. What time? He just says, at the proper time. Well, welcome to God's way of doing things. You wish tomorrow you had an answer. He says, at the proper time. You see, God, I like the way God speaks. He beats the game of gaming Him. You can't game Him. He says, at the proper time. So you cannot just do the right thing for 2 weeks and say, I'll get the answer. Not in 2 weeks. He just tells you at the proper time. You cannot game that. That can be for a year. That can be for 3 years. You cannot game that. Because human beings, we like to game the system. How long does it take? Okay, I'm going to do it. You can't game this. You cannot game this one. It just says at the proper time. In other words, God is testing your authenticity with this. Are you for me? For real? You mean that? Let's see how far you can take this. You see, we hate it when it's not just changing. When you have things that irritate you and they're not changing, guess who needs to change? I need to change. You need to change. The issue is not that everything you deal with will change. Sometimes your attitude will have to change and be more like Jesus Christ. And that will change the whole situation. Traffic is not changing in Atlanta. It's going to get worse. What will need to happen, as disciples, will need to have a better heart and attitude with it. More people are moving down here. The other day I looked in at Yahoo and I had 700 people moved here last year. 700,000. And I said, well, that's a lot of people. They came from the north. They moved down this way. Things, you have to change yourself, because sometimes we come to the world where I can change things. Sometimes you have to change you. But here's the thing here. At the proper time, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity, let us do good to those who belong to the family of believers. Quick question. When is the last time you invited someone to your house? I like to ask this question. Now you know how I operate. That's awesome. But some of us rarely have anyone in our house. We can have the campus people in your house. We can have the singles in your house. We can have some singles in your house. And they can have people in their house if they live in a group. We can have people in each other's house, right? Do good. When is the last time you just prayed with someone or listened to someone? Do good. That's how you build community. You do good. Take opportunity to reach out to people. God has a purpose for your pain and reason, your struggle and a gift, for your struggle and a gift for your faithfulness. Do not give up. I want to talk a little bit about the issues I brought up earlier before I went to this is issues of pain and forgiveness and stuff like that. Your struggle about around this time, you can struggle with identity issues. Around this time, you can struggle with trust. You can struggle with all kinds of things. But what you don't realize is that God is trying to help you to know Him. But we spend too much time blaming the outside. The outside is always a catalyst to just bring up what is inside, as I was sharing on Sunday. And God has a purpose for your pain. So the question I want to put to you today is, have you found out why you're going through that right now? You got to be praying about that. A reason for your struggle. That brings meaning. That brings purpose in how you're dealing with life. And you grow out of this stuff. And a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. As a Christian, I've had days when I've wanted to give up. And I said, man, this is a hard job. Being a minister is a hard job. I mean, the last one I had that kind of time was about 7 years ago, and my mother, who's not a Christian, walked up to me and said, Steve, your dad wanted you to be a minister. I said, what are you talking about? She had to bring about a picture where I took a picture with my dad with a Bible. And I said, really? Is that what he told you? Yeah, that's a, when they talk about dead people, you may pay attention sometimes, you know. But I say that because I know we all struggle with different things. Are you faithful, though? Are you faithful as you struggle? Are you resentful? Are you angry? Or are you faithful? Have you stopped reading your Bible? I don't read the Bible anymore because I don't know this thing of God. I'm just waiting for God. I don't pray anymore. When will Jesus come back? We stop doing these things and we get worse and worse and worse. I don't trust these people anymore. I don't trust leaders. I don't trust that. And you go on and you just go off the rails totally. You got to come back to Scripture. Start relationships with people. Start standing around. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. It's about yourself and God. Let us finish here. Status quo kills community. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. What was going on was the Jews were putting pressure for the Gentiles to get circumcised. Why? Because they wanted to be accepted by the Jewish community. that they were interacting with Gentiles that were becoming more like Jews. And so instead of focusing on God, sideshows were becoming the most important things, right? And they were fighting. And eventually he says, not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised. They are, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. They were trying to boast. Look at how we have achieved to change these people to be like this. And he says, may I never boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I crucified to the world. That the cross crucifies the world in us. So let me say this to us. Right now there's a lot that's playing around, and if you're not careful, that what is playing around becomes to define you. It defines you because you've not embraced the cross yet. So the world begins to tell you how to think and how to behave. And when you come to the cross says, hey, may I never boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Sometimes, instead of us really moving and building that community, what we can tend to do is to people please. And when you people please as a church, even within the church, you don't build a true community. Because we just stroke each other. We don't learn to speak the truth in love. And growth cannot happen. And when you do that, you have people playing passive-aggressive games. They're not being real with each other. And we have the church tone, the church face, and all that stuff, but we're not really dealing. I pray that you're really dealing in your heart. You're not trying to people please. Having said that, let me put a caveat. If you're not people pleasing, don't be killing people and attacking people. Be godly in how you talk about it. Being real is not putting them down and killing them. Does that make sense? It's the truth in love as well. So, but for some of us, we're just afraid to talk about any little difference, anything that is different. We are afraid. You're just afraid, I can't talk about that. It's too much. Well, we can talk about it with love and truth, right? One of the things I enjoyed most in my high school was the debate club. It's quite interesting. And you had a time, and you had to make things clear, and I was ready with my notes, and I was listening to the guy, and I said, okay, we're coming. Let's have this confrontation going. He said, yeah, yo, wait, we stand up, here we go. It's very interesting as you see them tear down your point. And you have to come back and think, okay, how do I come back to this thing? Now, the problem with that is that it teaches you to think quickly. It doesn't teach you to be honest with yourself. It teaches you to put down the opponent. It doesn't teach you to be really honest with what's going on. I hope that we don't get into a debate club with ourselves and God. Right. Just come back with quick, but the Bible says, it also says this. Why don't we get honest and deal with God and not just people please? That does not mean because I'm being myself, I become rude and I don't care. You can be yourself but be godly. Amen? When you're godly, you're humble, it attracts people to you, and you're not busy trying to say, take it or leave it. No, you're saying, I want to be godly. How can we make this work? Does that make sense? So understand that. Status quo. They were trying to keep this thing the same. We have to grow. We cannot stay the same. As a church, we have to grow together in our relationship with God, with one another, and help other people to know God. Does that make sense? Amen. We cannot stay the same. We have to keep growing. Grow in our connection. Grow in our understanding. Does that make sense?
That's right.
Things do not change. We change. Many people say, why is it not changing? Because you haven't changed for the last 10 years. Why is it not changing? Because you've not changed for the last 20 years. Why is it not changing? You've not changed the whole week. How do you expect that to change? You got to make some changes. I am always afraid when I feel like I'm the same guy. I'm always afraid with that because I'm dying somewhere. I need to keep changing. And let me be honest with you. Changing until it becomes your culture is a painful journey. Because you see things about yourself like, I do that? I need to change? Whoa, how did I get like that? I was looking at some notes today and I said, oh my goodness, when I wrote this, I needed help. Thank you, Lord, for showing me your grace. People liked it, but that was a terrible message. You got to look at things and say, well, God was with me. Something is wrong when you arrive in life. We don't arrive in Christ. We grow until we die. You never arrive in Christ. You grow until you die. That is something we need to grasp. Something we must enjoy to grow. You don't say, I've been here for the last whatever. I say, thank you for being around. Amen. We love you that you've been around that long, but can we grow together? Sometimes it's not the people who change. It is the mask that falls out off. That's all. I didn't think it was like that. The mask just fell off. How do you behave when you find out something about a brother or a sister? Do you pull back? Do you avoid them when the mask falls off? I've been with people for many years, and sometimes I didn't know them until something else happened. And I was in denial. And one sister once walked up to me and says, God reveals people over time. I said, what? Does that make sense? Let me explain this. She said to me, God reveals to people over time. Let me explain this. As Christians, we carry the ideal. We're all Christians. We should never have a conflict. This should never happen. That's true. But what is the reality right now? Deal with that to come to the ideal. Does that make sense? We have an ideal, but we cannot be stuck with the ideal. We must deal with the reality to bring the ideal. Does that make sense? And if you're stuck in that ideal and never deal with who you are, you never come to that place. And when the date happens, you feel like, oh, how did that happen? Well, you aren't dealing with it as it came about. Galatians 6:12-15. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. It's not the outside stuff that counts. It's the new creation that counts. Because they were big on that. The whole chapter was circumcision and all that. It says, it's not what this is being said. What's not being said is, are you becoming a new creation? At the end of this week, will you be a new creation? In one way or another, your mindset, your attitude, will you be a new creation? You see, we spend a lot of time on the outside. And I love that. If you just took 1% of energy you spend on the outside for the inside, it would be amazing how you could change. Don't stop the outside. Keep walking on the outside. But if you just took 1% on the effort you take on the outside, the amount you spend to go into a shop, look at the clothing, look at the shoes, and then just take 1% of that energy and put it on the inside, it would be amazing how it would change. We ignore the inside because we don't see the value. Yet, what counts as a new creation? That doesn't happen by accident. You have to forge a desire of letting God to be formed in you. This evening, I hope that we can build a community. It does not just happen. We have to build it. It takes all the things we've talked about. Take time to build it in your family group, in the one another relationships. God bless you.